Brian? Well, as Brian said, I'm from Murray State University, but I'm from Southern Illinois. I started at Murray State 4 years ago. I've started at SIU this month. So July 1, I'm officially no longer at MSU. So my title is Undergraduate Student Research, Developing Future Horticulturists, or the Life of a Non-Land Grant Horticulture Assistant Professor. And we've heard some people talk about some land grant universities today, and I'm going to talk to you about non-land grant. So a brief history about myself. I have a bachelor's in horticulture from Ohio State University, and then I taught high school horticulture for 8 years in Columbus, Ohio. That was an amazing, great opportunity. Just really neat, the difference in secondary education versus post-secondary. After 8 years, I went back and got my master's in crop sciences and a PhD in curriculum instruction from University of Illinois. And Illinois, as we know, is a great crops and horticulture program. After Illinois, I moved on to Murray State University, where I have taught horticulture for 4 years in Murray, Kentucky. This fall, I'll be starting, like I said, at SIU, where I'll be teaching agriculture education. My research there will focus on pre-service secondary educators and their preparedness and competency to teach greenhouse management and horticulture courses. And we'll talk more about that later. So before we get started, I don't see any, do we have any grad students in here?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I'm going to be focusing on you two folks back here. Oh, but first of all, for the entire room, has anyone heard of Murray State University? Okay, so the four or five people that raised our hands, what have you heard about Murray State University? How have you heard it? In what context?
Basketball.
Yeah, there you go. So it's basketball, right? So Murray State has a good basketball program. We're also known for the quality of our ag teaching, our ag programs, and our teaching programs. Of our 10,000 students, so we're not a giant university. We come from Western Kentucky, predominantly. Missouri, Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana, Western Tennessee. Murray State is kind of tucked in a little bit almost below the state line of Tennessee, so where there's some weird jog from history where they mess up the survey. Murray's way there, so Western Kentucky University, you may have heard of that ag program. They're way over there in Bowling Green. We're way west of Western Kentucky. excuse me. I would say we're known as a regional university. Horticulture is housed at Murray State and the Hudson School of Agriculture. We have 1,000 students in ag out of our 10,000 student population. And in horticulture, I'd say we have 25 students, probably similar to a lot of your horticulture programs, maybe where you come from, or the grad students as well. You might have a large horticulture program, but if you look at ornamental horticulture, it'll be a much smaller pie than crop sciences or the row crop research. Oh, so let's see, I wanted to add one other thing on that page, but I think my mouse is messing up here, so we'll just try to... All right, so I do wear many hats as well, as some of our speakers have mentioned, and the first one I'm going to be talking about is service. Now, the grad students here, are you perhaps thinking of becoming a faculty member someday, maybe? Okay, that's a great way to go. I want to specifically talk to you folks, and we'll talk to the rest of the room, but especially our grad students. As many of you know, the life of an assistant professor is a busy life, and when I was my 4 years, I've sought to engage in every possible aspect I could of the academic community. So in service, we have local, regional, and national is how I'm breaking down my service. In my position, I wear a number of hats, and I serve the horticulture profession, local, regional, and nationally. Locally, I teach extension classes for the Kentucky Extension Master Gardeners and give talks to local civic and private organizations. Now, I don't work for UK, so UK is our land grant university in Kentucky, but I am asked to teach classes for our local extension agents, and you grad students should hopefully try to accept requests to help out with these kind of activities. That will, they're great opportunities for reaching out and expanding the breadth of your knowledge in the horticultural field. Another thing I have done locally is I'm the apiary manager for Murray State University. 2 years ago, we had an incoming freshman, an honor student, and she said she wants to conduct undergraduate student research with honeybees. Well, that's really great. You know, honeybees are a real topical thing, and I love insects. Now, we don't have an entomologist in our School of Ag, so I jumped at it. I recognized the opportunity and jumped at it. I've always had an interest in entomology and took the lead in establishing our apiary. So we constructed our apiary. We got our bees in, and now we're raising bees. That was 2.5 years ago. So here we can see some of our undergraduate students conducting hive inspections, an open hive here during an inspection. And this is our presidential scholar here in the lower right, the one who was doing the research. She was conducting her research on honeys and trying to maybe see if mite biter bees would be more resistant to the varroa mites that we see in honey. So here she is testing the water content of our raw honey to make sure it's ready for bottling. The apiary now is a part of our arboretum, Murray State Arboretum, which is a large attraction on our campus. It's a wonderful opportunity for outreach and engagement with the community. So this is a class of high school students from our local high school. This is their horticulture class. And they're here to help us harvest do our first harvest honey, or our second honey harvest. In this case, we're going to be decapping. They're going to put in a centrifuge. That raw honey will get extracted out, and it will be processed, or not processed, just we'll pour them right in our jars. So myself and our manager, we've excitedly designed these, and we sell these in our school bookstore and at the farmer's market and right there at the arboretum at the greenhouse, and we sell out immediately. Our first harvest, we had 15 gallons, so imagine three 5-gallon buckets of honey. That's what our yield was of our first two harvests here. And it's really neat because kids, you get to see the kids come in and they love putting on the suits and messing around the hives and opening up and taking a look. It's a really great outreach. Oh, we have honey bears, and here she is doing some outreach in one of our field days. Now, apiary has been a great opportunity for me to collaborate with peers. Perhaps things don't always work out as planned, so this is a soybean field, and we wanted to see if honeybees would increase the yield of soybeans. So you can see our honeybees hard at work in there. They did fertilize the soybeans, but they're also like, "God, let us out." They're like trying to bust their way out of the nets. And the problem was that led to a lot of dead honeybees. So while we did see an increase of 6.5 bushels per acre, which kind of replicates some research from the 40s, not a lot of honeybee research on soybeans currently, we also lost those two hives completely. So you win some, lose some, but it's fun because you get to, at a school like Murray State, you get to try lots of different things. I'm the Horticulture Club advisor, so we have a lot of outreach. We work with a retirement center every month, and it's my job to guide them and advise them from time to time as the need arises. My Horticulture Club participates in the southern region of ASHS, the ACB, and our last 4 years, these are our teams. And in the Birmingham competition, we placed first place overall, and our students placed first, second, and third individually. So that was quite a coup, because we're going up against Texas A&M and Auburn and Mississippi State, large land-grant universities, large research universities, R1s, and our university is holding their own with those students. Another hat under that umbrella is our greenhouse. So I'm the greenhouse manager. I work with our farm manager to manage our greenhouse. We grow from plug bedding plants and from seed bedding plants, poinsettias. We have three greenhouses in our range. So this is our poinsettia crop in the winter. We also have our bedding plant crop. And this, again, it's all student labor. It's really amazing. So the only paid employees are myself and the farm manager. We have some student hourly workers, but everyone else is learning for class, and that's a big endeavor and a great, good experiential learning for the students. Regional service. I have some opportunities for regional service. So the Kentucky Department of Education, Division of College and Career Readiness, Office of Career and Technical Education, that's a mouthful. They wanted to offer a 2-day horticulture management practices update for Kentucky secondary ag teachers. So I don't know how much you folks know about agriculture education, but typically your high school ag teachers are, they're gung-ho. They can teach the animal science. They can teach the welding and the construction trades. They have a hard time with horticulture. Traditionally, they're not strong greenhouse managers or horticulturists. And so there's a need for that. And so the state asked me if I could design and implement this workshop. I said, absolutely. So we had a two-day workshop for high school teachers. Topics included greenhouse management and crop scheduling, lab management and lesson and curriculum development. The teachers also got hands-on training in plant propagation methods and irrigation construction. And it was well received, and they've asked me to teach it again next year. So that was a really great opportunity for outreach. Another regional opportunity we have are career development events, or CDEs. Some of you may have participated in CDEs when you were kids, or in high school and college, well, high school. So these are students that are here taking a plant ID CDE competition for horticulture. And you grad students, if you're thinking of a career in this area, you very well may be asked to do something along in this nature. We also hosted a regional horticulture CDEs at our MSU field day. We had students from five states participate. And here's an important difference between large faculty universities and small faculty. So at Murray State, our horticulture department consists of three individuals. That'd be me, myself, and I. So I'm a sole professor at the university. I'm housed in the School of Ag. We do not have a horticulture department, so maybe some of you are from, our horticulture department has 35 faculty, including crop and row crop. I am the only horticulture faculty, which is exciting and great. I can do what I want, but it's also sad you don't get to collaborate as much with other peers. But it's kind of weird because in a small department with these CDEs where the high schoolers are coming in, this is a you might be the sole contact that these high school students have with horticulture at your campus. And the success of your program, especially with recruiting and student engagement, rests on your shoulders. So that's a big, important deal. As far as national engagement goes, speaking of engagement, organizations such as ASHS and NACTA are really great opportunities for students and undergrads to get that practical, hands-on, applied experience and to learn and engage with the horticultural field. In the upper left corner, I have my ASHS ACB officer team here. This is this year's team. In the lower left is our judging competition. So some of you, again, may have competed in that in ASHS when you were in undergrads. So I've run that for 3 years now. And on the right is our NACTA. So we hosted the NACTA Field Days judging competition this year at Murray State, and I was in charge of all the horticulture. Research. So a second major hat I wear, so that was outreach and service, now research. I do research. So some of the other folks in here talk about their appointments, and I have 100% teaching appointments, but that doesn't mean I don't do research. I do conduct research, and that's kind of an expectation, even though when they hire you, they don't say you have to do research, but you have to do research. Because you need publications. So this year I was nominated for the MSU Distinguished Researcher Award 2019. Along with research is grant funding. Again, so we're not a land grant, and so grant funding is hard to come by, but it's an important component of a regional university. It's not all-encompassing, though, where your life may depend on it, like at a Big Ten university. During the last 4 years, I received over $40,000 in grants, but most of them were small, little grants, and those were really useful for engaging in undergraduate student research. My work at Murray State has included soil characteristics and tillage, sustainable horticulture, and soilless media and crop production. These are all pictures of my undergraduates presenting. This is at the Capitol building in Kentucky, presenting his research at the Governor's Capitol Research Summit. I've noticed that there's some really great undergraduate student posters here, and that's so important for our undergrads to be engaging in that. Another one of my research lines, this summer I'm investigating how physical risk factors of dark fire tobacco harvesting in Kentucky. So Kentucky grows a lot of the tobacco we use, and so I'm working with someone in occupational safety and health, collaborating across units to research that. The big project I've been working on is with a company called Organolock, and they use a biochar-based soilless media and soil amendment. And this is my field trial. I'm going to have to go a little bit faster here. One of my undergrads. This is our greenhouse production and our trough system. So we were doing three different trials, and it's longitudinally replicated over time. This is a shot of my sweet potatoes growing in these troughs, and we're measuring total yield of above ground biomass and sweet potato yields. Here's our harvest, again with the high schools, local high schools coming to help us harvest. Some of my undergrad students working. Here's our above ground and our sweet potato yields. And my poster on this data is in the exhibit hall if you wish to go learn more about that research. Finally, teaching. So teaching is my passion. Hopefully it is. These are my classes I teach. So I wanted to point out, when we saw people teach one or three classes at a teaching or regional university, this is your course schedule. So I teach 12 to 15 hours a semester. And greenhouse, floral, herbaceous materials, my favorite. Landscape design, professional experience, plant propagation. So you teach a lot of classes, and you folks there, if you don't go to a Big Ten, if you're at a smaller school, you're going to be teaching a lot of classes too, which is great. Teaching is fun. Really quick reality check. This is something ASHS has been telling us about. This was published by Dr. Stewart out of Utah, and hopefully some of you have already seen this, where we've seen our number of schools offering horticultures decrease from 97 to 2017. Large decrease, and that's really bad news. So there's this trend. I don't know what the trend is, why it's occurring, but I have an idea for reversing it, and I believe it's that we need to have high school programs preparing our horticulture students better, so when we have incoming undergraduate students, they have an interest in horticulture. Those interested in horticulture, we have to engage them with undergraduate student research. We'll get them engaged, and research has shown that engaged students are going to stick around. Sticking around kids are going to have better student retention, which leads to improved graduation rates, which fulfills industry and academia staffing requirements of the future. But undergraduate student research is key, and that's where I'm focusing, and I'd be happy to talk to people more about this later after the talk. They're curious about it. Knobloch and Winnington at Ohio State said that those high school teachers, if they have a high level of self-efficacy, like I was teaching that class I told you last summer, they're more likely to be better teachers and teach the content more authoritatively. So the importance of horticulture there is increased engagement. So I want to use undergraduate student research to engage my students, and that engagement leads to better student retention, as we saw in my chain here, better graduation rates, better horticulturists in general. I believe we can reverse that trend of our programs decreasing, in part with this form of experiential learning, undergraduate student research. The benefit is there's multitudes, but information retention, student retention, and preparing horticulturists for a future world of work in academia. I know that my plan, I believe, is working because my efforts are making a difference. My students are presenting their posters at local, national, and regional conferences. My plan for them is to become proficient at doing undergraduate student research and to be able to share their knowledge they discover. And these students are going on to graduate schools to study horticulture, and they're finding good jobs in the industry. One of my students is now the state florist for the state of Kentucky. I have students working at large design build firms, permaculture orchard. One of them started permaculture orchard, master's and PhD programs, and especially a lot of work in hemp and medicinal recreational cannabis. A lot of my students go into that field. So this talk was not meant to scare our grad students away from pursuing a career in academia, especially at a teaching-centric university. It's a great profession. Horticulture is so fun. It's great. Horticulture is awesome. And I believe by helping high school teachers to better understand how to be able to provide horticultural content and then provide us with horticulturally interested students, that I think we can engage our students with undergraduate student research, and we can help fulfill and keep a vibrant future for the field of horticulture going into tomorrow. Thank you very much. Yes.
That 2-day horde management thing, so did you offer CEUs?
Yes, they
and
did.
How many did they get?
I think we offered, it was a 3-credit hour class.
And was it, did they have to pay a fee?
There was a cost share that was the state of Kentucky paid for that. Good question, thank you. Thank you very much, everybody.
One quick question. Okay. Steven, how do you prepare? prepare your students for those competitions at like Southern Region when they know they're going up with some?
Absolutely. It's drill, drill, drill. So we have a judging class, as I'm sure many of your universities have, where we meet twice a week and they have a class, and we just drill them, and we try to use specimens, not just slides. And hopefully they're eating and sleeping it, and I make them make flashcards, even though everyone's got iPhones nowadays. Old-fashioned flashcards, I think old school is the way to go. And you know, lots of plant walks, so just keep drilling.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Do. And obviously, like, you didn't study that for, you know, your undergrad.
That's right.
How do you gain the confidence to be able to teach those courses that you are unfamiliar with?
Sure. So try again. So, you know, you'll hear other professors say that it's smart, you know, you got to keep a day ahead of the students, and they don't know more than you, so as far as you know, everything you say is Bible, right? So it's in the books. But you just keep trying, and then the second year, it's so much easier. And then third year, it's all gravy. You can take care of it. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's thank Stephen again.
Thank you, folks.